Our gracious Father in heaven, we come to you because we know we are lacking in many aspects of our Christian life. But the only cure is to know your word, your living word, the word that has power. So as we open your word, please, the one that you inspired, the writer of the Bible, and also the same Holy Spirit will inspire us so we understand the meaning and message. We just commit our life to you back in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. I have some early part, a little bit repeat. So if you see some of the slides, please bear in mind. The Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 23. And this is what our Heavenly Father says here. Do I have any pleasure at all that the wicked should die? Question mark. Says the Lord God. And not that he should turn from his way and live. As I try to emphasize, the Bible is not talking about any human morality issues. There are many, many good moral people outside the Christ, outside the Christian, the one who doesn't know about Christ. The essence of the biblical message is whether you want to live or you want to die. Because it started with this, Ezekiel chapter 18 is just re-echoing Genesis chapter 2 messages. As we shared that last time, do you want to continue to live the life that I gave you to Adam and asking to Adam? His life that Adam received is eternal life. And so do you want to continue that life or not? And that's the two truths we're talking about. And it will continue throughout the Bible. I have one person who actually watched my sermon says, he had a question. Where's the tree of knowledge in good and evil now? And we know that, we don't know that right. We don't have that right now. We cannot see it. But the only thing is, it's not going to be existing in new heaven and new earth, right? There's only the tree of knowledge. There's only the tree of life in heavenly place. And Lamentation chapter 3, there's a little bit crowded slides here, but it's very important. That for he does not afflict willingly nor grieve the children of man. Why should a living man complain? A man for the punishment of his sins. In other words, God does not, as a first slide, he has no intention to harm or to going through the difficulty in this life. And here, the red color willingly, actually, that word is hard, lev, Hebrew words. And I rather like to read my Korean Bible because Korean Bible says he does not afflict in his bon shim. Bon shim means it's a innermost of the heart of God. So in other words, God never intended to see all the misery that people are going through this life. But at the same time, he says, why the people are complaining? Because a lot of things has to do with your own sins. You already going through, digging up your own tombs. So you are seeing the result even earlier now, before the judgment. So let us search out and examine our ways, and turn back. Turn back. The first slide also says, you should turn, same words. Turn means when Adam and Eve was there after the, in chapter 3, God says, you turn back to the dust, because that's where you came from. So it's a turning back. In the rest of the Bible, we talk about, you know, repentance in a way. But anyway, here, turning back to the Lord. Through the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed. Because of his compassions, fail not. There are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So, I don't know what is your current situation. If you came today with a lot of anxiety inside and your life when you reflect, there are a lot of things that are at stake. Just take these words and memorize that, because God's mercy will not consume us and his compassion will not leave us alone, because God is faithful. The great is his faithfulness. And this can happen even every morning. We can repeat and experience. And so, what is a man that you are mindful of him? The son of man that you visited him. We're talking about here, you know, creation of the, this planet Earth, and after God created Adam and Eve, he frequently visited him, especially on the Sabbath, because God stopped everything. Why he stopped everything? Because he wanted to spend time, full attention toward the couples. So Sabbath is so important in that sense. That's why we have to remember the Sabbath, even first day of the week and second day, third day, while we're working very hard for 6 days. But remember the Sabbath, because that's the time God is actually paying all his attention to us. And you have made him a little lower than the angels, and you have crowned him with glory and honor. And so this is where we talk about when Adam and Eve, God gave them God's life, because God crowned Adam with glory and honor. The crown means not just here, crown, covering. Okay? So when you look at the Adam, there was a glowing, there's a glory coming out. So you cannot see inside what's going on. However, like Adam, many people broke the covenant with God. And so Adam, what he had done was actually breaking the God's covenant. We know story about covenant that is broken during the time of, you know, Israel, even Abraham, you know, and David and all other people who broke the God's covenant, especially people of, you know, God's people. And so as I mentioned last time, covenant has always two conditions. One is what? One is promise. The other one is how to fulfill that promise. So think about that with the two trees, because God says, the promise is I'm going to give you eternal life, that the way I started with you. Keep that, keep it, continue. But there's one condition. The condition is don't dare to eat the other tree. So these are the covenant contract with Adam, and which he broke, as we know. And there's a consequence that we are suffering even now. So there are many traitors. And Adam actually was a traitor against God in that sense. So here, interesting that both Adam and Eve, when they're created, they're naked, but they are not ashamed. But chapter 3, verse 7, this is after. In other words, then means what happened. After they ate the tree, the eyes of both of them were opened, and then they knew what they were naked. They knew that they were naked. And so this word, the new, is yada. It's a Hebrew word. It's the first time happening here. The yada means the knowledge that is so personal, intimate knowledge. Sometimes, like husband-wife relationship, that kind of knowledge. So when the only time when they start, they recognized they're naked was what? It was after, not before. Bible doesn't say they knew that they are naked. No, it's only after their eye was opened and they knew. So what it means is what? The glory and the honor that was crowned them was gone immediately as soon as they did that. So that's why their eternal life was forfeited right away. So what they did was they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves covering. All this human history is covering. You know, we don't want to show our weak point, so we all have some sort of cloth here. You know, we cover with our reputations, our name value, our money or wealth or house and furniture. All these things are actually the covering of ourself toward the one who can see everything naked. So ultimately, Adam, his original title was Son of God. That has been forfeited. So there was no father-son relationship. So his eternal life was gone. And as we shared last time, Bible says another term, he had the life of what? Anybody can remember? Life of flesh. So life of flesh is the life that we have. We'll explain a little bit more. So Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 12 and 14, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and then death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. Nevertheless, the death reigned from Adam to Moses. So in other words, what we are seeing in this planet Earth with your and my experience, everything here is due to the first man, Adam. Because of him, sin entered, and then death through sin. So death is the one that rule over us. Therefore, we don't have true life that God has given to us. So as we remember, I think this 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 22 is so important for us to remember that in Adam all die, but even in Christ all will be made alive. And then verse 45 says the first man Adam, became a living soul, but there is another Adam, not the second Adam. Many people think the second Adam, even the spirit prophet says second Adam, but I think biblically saying, if you have a second Adam, there should be third Adam too. Bible specifically says, Jesus is the last Adam. There's no more any other person or human or any heavenly angelic being will come back here to take care of, because Jesus is the last Adam. He is the one who are giving spirit. And so, Matthew chapter 4, verse 16 and 17, here, this world, people, basically in one sentence, they sat in darkness. And so they need a light. They need a light. They need a light. And then 17 says, from that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Actually, when Bible talks about repent, it's actually not my sin, my moral behavior. Of course, that is part of that, but ultimately, as Acts chapter 11, verse 18 says, it's a repentance to life. In other words, we don't have life as God originally intended. We only have a life of flesh. So we have to have the original, the life that Adam lost. That eternal life is what Jesus came to establish here for. Because Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 1 to 3, says, we saw this slide before. God says, my spirit shall not strive with man forever. What is strive? Strive means yes. Actually, yeah, these are all probably part of that. And also, he's not going to deal with them. Now, even if he actually tell them, and have them to correct, they don't change it. So that's why my spirit shall not strive with men forever. For he is indeed the flesh. In other words, God says, my spirit cannot stay with them. I have to leave because that's what they want me to do. So when a person, the spirit is gone, only thing left is what? Flesh. That's why he is indeed the flesh. And therefore, Bible talks about here the wickedness of man in the same Genesis chapter 6. Wicked of men, great in earth, every intent of the thoughts of his heart is only evil continually. And so there's a corruption, there's violence. These are all moral decay, but why that happened? It's the result of their existence of only with the life of the flesh. That's why they're doing that. So all moral corruptions is nothing but what? Is nothing but the result of men lost God and they are trying to cover up themselves with a human artificial way. Especially the fig tree. As soon as you take it off fig tree, what? Is there life or not? So everything is lifeless covering. And that's why actually, man is now a corpse. If you don't have life, what's the situation? You're a corpse. If corpse continue, there is smell. All the smells of corpse. I don't know you ever smell the dead body's smell. Maybe fishy or other animal, but human smell is not so good either. When I went to anatomy class, we all have stinking smell, and then there's a lot of other chemicals to put it in, so it's kind of neutralized, but still it's hard to eat in the classroom something. But anyway, so there's a term called life of the flesh in Leviticus chapter 17, 11 and 14, and also in the proverb, there's also the life of flesh, life of all flesh. And these are the ones that Bible is talking about. So we all have, yes, life, but the life is not the life, eternity is life of flesh. And because of that, there is decaying, corrupting, corruptive smell coming, and that is where it expressed in the violence in the societies. And it's because all this situation is, in one sentence, is a sickness unto death. So, life of flesh is explained in this philosopher as a sickness unto death. And medically talking about, we all diagnose with a terminal illness. Do you have terminal illness here? I do have, yeah. Terminal illness. There's no way. That's why we need our Savior. Yeah. So, another, you know, in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2, we become sons of disobedient, and we are following the course of this life. And therefore, we have conducted our life in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desire of the flesh and desire of the minds. And so we become children of the wrath. This wrath is because of our lifestyle. We are digging our own tomb. And so we have to think about whenever wrath, the words, it's not God is angry and crushing and things like that. No. And we'll talk about that because we have another big event happen in December. I'll share that. Time is, yeah, okay. And ultimately, Jesus said, you are son of the devil. Your father is a devil. And because he has no truth in him, he was a liar. He was murderer from the beginning. What kind of lie he had? What was a devil's liar? Yeah, that's right. Oh, you're not going to be die. You surely not die. And God says you surely die. So that is the first lie in the Old Testament, right? Which one was the first lie in the New Testament recorded? I shared it before. Especially Christmas time. King Herod, right? Says, oh, you come back. No, let us know where baby born king was. I'll go and worship. That's another lie, right? What happened with this devil? Was he a murderer from the beginning? Yes. What kind of murderous act he did? He actually killed the eternal life of Adam and Eve. Yeah. So, as we're studying about, you know, Christ coming to this world, and we have to start with the Genesis chapter 3:15, and God says to the serpent, I will put the enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. You know, this is we Bible students, especially the Adventist Bible students, know this is a prophecy that predict Christ coming as a Savior. And as we know, this is the first gospel, right? First gospel. Second gospel is, we say, you know, John chapter 3:16, but this is 15. Of course, John 3:15 also has a gospel there too. But it's interesting, the same 3:15. Now, this prophecy is the longest prophecy, because when the seed of the woman bruised the head of the serpent, and then this prophecy really ends. And that is when. What happened? When that will happen? We'll study. The last enemy is what? Death. Yes, the last enemy is death. So it's still going on. Still going on. Now, what is the enmity? Hatred. Yes, enmity is hatred. So, Bible message is love your enemy, but we have to be careful. We have to hate the sin, but love the sinners, right? In that sense. Now, in this verse, we have to find three different things. Number one, the birth of the Savior. And number two is suffering of the Savior. And number three is triumphant of the Savior. Triumph, not the trump, but the triumph of the Savior. Now, as we talk about here, the your seed and her seed. Her seed is seed of the woman. In many Christian circle, who is a seed of woman? And there are different ideas. But I think there's no doubt that this actually is pointing to one individual, which is the Jesus Christ. Because the one who really have a controversy with the enemy, who is a serpent and his seed, his descendant, will be actually the Jesus Christ. And he's the one who actually had a suffering of bruising of his heel. In Genesis chapter 49, I think, when 12 children of Jacob's there, they're actually prophesied about their future. And one of the tribes is Dan. And then in that story, the serpent or the adder, and that's different words in the serpent, but is a strike the heel of what? Heel of the horse. And then what happened? The rider of the horse kind of fell back. So there's some delay, things like that. And so some Bible commentators talking about that. And in other words, he was bruised in his heel because of the Satan's attack. And we can understand that is not a bad idea in terms of understanding. And this is where Jesus died on the cross for 3 days and then resurrected. But there's a deadly blow to the head of the serpent, which is, as we talk about, the last enemy of humanity is the death itself. So when this prediction of the prophecy of Galatians, I mean, in Genesis chapter 3:15, because of that, there are many time that went on, but there was always a fullness of the time. And that's when Galatians chapter 4 says, the fullness of time had come, and God sent forth his son and born of a woman. So this is where the seed of the woman is starting. And because of Jesus came as a son of God, due to the loss of the sonship of Adam, Adam and God the Father, or, you know, Heavenly Fathers, you know, we talk about at least the two eternal fathers as we studied the last time. But that relationship has been gone. And so Jesus came as a son to reestablish of all the people to become a chance, to have a chance to become another sons of God. So it was through the adoption. Through the adoption because of Jesus Christ. But the interesting is that Ephesians chapter 1 verse 4 and 5 says, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. In other words, the fact that Jesus coming as a son of God, and because of his ministry, his victorious public life against the devil, he actually was able to adopt as many as many people as sons. But this plan actually started when? It's before the foundation of the world. In other words, this plan was already established even before creation started. So in other words, God's plan was to have a redemption plan first before creation. So this is the amazing implication that we can think about. So in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. And this is something we know and very well. And then the Word was made flesh. So this is where we talk about incarnation, right? Incarnation. And only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So this verse, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, this is the one, at least we Stone Tower Church members should memorize this, right? Because it has been many times, it was in the slide and the screens, and unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Number one, here it obviously talking about a child was born and a son was given to whom? Unto us. Unto us. So the fact that Jesus become child and son is not happened before us. In other words, some people in Christendom believe Jesus was the first created being, right? So they don't worship Jesus, which is contradictory to many other scripture in the Bible where actually Jesus was worshipped. So in the beginning was the Word, not was the Son, or not was the baby, because to be a child and to be a son was given to us. There was a later time. But before he was born as a child and a son, he was what? His name was Mighty God and Everlasting Father. So the more I think about this, this is such a profound statement. Because we cannot even fathom about these events that Jesus went through. The Father becomes Son. Is that ever happened? Father becomes Son. It never happened in human history. I don't think it ever will happen in the history of the universe. Especially that Father is not just a Father, it's an everlasting, mighty God. Think about how Jesus came down to the womb of the Mary. You know, how long you and I, we stayed in the womb?
9 months.
9 months, 9 to 10 months, whatever, yes. Was it comfortable?
Probably.
We never know, right? We never know. Is this very bright? No, it's very dark place. Dark place. And wet places. Jesus, who is the light of the world, he was in the darkness for 10 months. And we really don't know what things happen. But there are so many discovery of the human science about how a small one single cell developed to the full-fledged baby. And there are so many information. You know, you heard about gestational age, conceptual age, trimesters, and zygote, and embryo, blastocyst, all these terminologies. Do you know, when a single cell from half from mother, half from father, when it becomes a little bit bigger, and when it becomes like about 100 or 200 cells divided. You know how, what kind of size is that? It's a, when I check, it's a, like a 0.7 millimeter, which means a 0.028 inches. It's like a grain of the sand. That small size that was implanted in the womb and receiving the blood from the Mary. And I don't know what health condition she had. Probably a healthy person, of course. But depending on that nutrition, all these 10 months. The question is Mary's egg was contributed to life of Jesus Christ? That is a kind of debatable. There's no real doctrine. But the Bible talks about, let me read here. It's Luke chapter 1, verse 34. The Mary said to the angel, do you know the name of the angel?
Gabriel.
How many times Gabriel was mentioned in the Bible?
Many.
Hmm?
Many.
I was hearing the children's story, Emmanuel, 100 times, 200, whatever. No, it's if it's a rare and valuable, you don't have many. Gabriel actually mentioned only 2 times in Old Testament.
Okay.
And where?
Daniel.
Daniel, chapter 8 and chapter 9, where he was directly involved in terms of interpretation of 24,000, you know, prophecy, and also especially the fullness of Christ's coming, like we just read that, right? We know when Jesus exactly came. And then in the midst of this, you know, he died. That chapter 9 of the Daniel. And Gabriel was actually telling that to Daniel. And what happened in the New Testament? How many times he showed up? Only 2 times too, there. One is Mary here, the other one is Mary's, I mean, the other one is Joseph's, yeah, John the Baptist, you know, parents, right? Elizabeth. That's, and I don't know the angel who instructed the Mary and Joseph to move, to flee. I don't know who, what angel was it. It doesn't say the name of that, but maybe so. I don't know. Now, Mary said to the angel, how shall this happen, since I do not know a man? Now we're talking about why Jesus came as a Virgin Mary. An angel answered, said to her, the Holy Spirit shall come on you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. Therefore, also the Holy One, which will be born of you, shall be called Son of God. So Jesus came as a Holy One, not a sinner. He didn't have anything to do with the sin. So his starting point as a baby, conception, I don't know what conception was that, nobody knows. Is this a half Holy Spirit or half Mary? I personally don't think so, because Mary, in his prayer, well, what did he say? In the same context, verse 46 in Luke chapter 1, she says, Mary said, my soul magnified the Lord, and my spirit was rejoiced in God, my Savior. So Mary recognized is he a sinless person? No, he's a sinful person. That's why he needs a Savior. God, my Savior. But many Christian teachings, some churches say, Oh, Mary had the immaculate conception. Why? Because Jesus has to come from the Mary. So Jesus is Holy One. So in order for Jesus to be holy, Mary has to be holy. But actually, it's not Mary, but Mary's parents has to be holy too. So therefore, I personally think this is not a dogma. And if you don't agree with my opinion, that's okay. I think Jesus came here as a Holy One. He never came as a sinner. And he actually became sin. When? At the conception? No. At the right before cross, right? So then the question is, the condition of Jesus Christ, his condition was before Adam's fall or before Adam's, before or after Adam's fall? You have to make a decision yourself. Now, modern medicine talk about surrogate mother. What is surrogate mother? They just let a couple who are trying to get a baby child, but somehow they cannot. So they have a, you know, husband and wife's that XY, whatever, sperm and the egg. And in a laboratory, they get it together and then plant it. So it become like a, like a blastocyst. There are many cells get together and is ready to get that into another woman's womb. And then it become, they about 75% is success. I don't know whether Mary just let her womb where Jesus can grow, the Holy One, even though she was contaminated. By whom? By the life of Adam, which was what? The life of the flesh. Think about these issues. And here, so we are now facing with the scripture. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Praise God. What a struggle, what a stress that Mary went through in that kind of moral society. They'll be throwing the stone at her if things happen. So what a courageous man that Joseph was to protect her. And that's why I think this story is such an amazing story that we always contemplate. How we, because of Jesus coming to my life and growing here, I'll be persecuted. I'll be misunderstood by whatever reason. And so it's the same kind of process we all go through when we receive the life of God, life of Jesus Christ. And in the Bible, there's always a one source of life. So man is not from woman, but woman from man, right? And so if Mary has to be born Jesus Christ, the life of Jesus Christ cannot contaminate with the life of the man. That's why Bible talk about seed of the woman. Seed of the woman, not seed of the man. You know, interesting enough, if you look at genealogy of the Bible, there are Genesis chapter 5, always talking about man begets man. In other words, man is the one who actually gives seed of the life to the next generation. And this is the same thing, like 1 Chronicles chapter 1, there are a lot of this genealogy, so complicated. They all talk about man is the one who give the life to the next generation, not the woman. Of course, there are the same words, that Hebrew words, also used in the woman to bear the children. But in our culture, man is the one who give life, but woman is bearing that. That's kind of, maybe it's more biblically correct or not. But anyway, so when the seed of the woman, who was born here of the woman, that cannot be contaminated by the Adam's defiled life. Because as we said, in Adam, how many die? All die. But in Christ, all are made alive, right? So if somebody who claimed that, oh, I'm the Messiah, you know, I'm the Christ, I'm the anointed one. And when you look at, you have a father and mother? Yeah, I have a father. Then that person is disqualified right away. Because that person cannot have an eternal life. Therefore, he cannot be a savior. So when we talk about seed of the woman, it means that it is not seed of the man. And it has a totally different life lineage. And that's why I think the seed of the woman is so important, the concept that we have to understand. You all know this, and maybe we'll. So the question then is, as we know, Jesus came here as a son of God, because Adam lost the sonship, and therefore there is no relationship with God. But Jesus came to this world, even though he was eternal Father, but he came down here always pointing to the Father in heaven. He says, he's the one who sent me. I don't do anything unless he's telling something else. I always follow his way. And so he actually demonstrates what truly the Son of God has to be. So I mean, think about in the book of John, how many times he actually called God the Father, my Father, my Father, my Father. So many times. Even though he was a father himself, in a way. What a humble humility that we are showing. You know, like in other New Testament, we don't have time to go through. But anyway, here. So the question is, Jesus came here as a son of God. And when that was actually claimed, or affirmed, or it was completed in that sense, in the sense of the ruralism. Here, if you read the Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, concerning his son Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and what? And then declared to be son of God, when? With the power of, according to the spirit of holiness, next one, by the resurrection from the dead. In other words, throughout the whole universe, Jesus actually truly declared to be Son of God when he went through the resurrection. So we really have to understand what the resurrection really means in that sense. And Jesus said here, John chapter 5, verse 24, if you believe my words and you believe the one who sent me, you already have everlasting life, and your life has passed from death to life. And then here, do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear my voice and come forth. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of the condemnation. So he's talking about two different resurrections, right? Most of you, I hope you understand this. But this is a very important concept that many Christians, they don't understand, even though it's so clear. Now, number one, traditional idea of Christendom is when you die, what happened? What happened? You either go to hell or you go to heaven when? Right away, right? How we can say it's not right away? Because Bible says here, who will participate in the resurrection? All who are in the where? In heaven? No, in the grave. In the grave. So resurrection can never apply to somebody out in up there. Either hell or heaven. So that teaching is, by reading this more clearly, understand that only those who will be respond is the one who are in the grave. And the other one is here. This is something kind of amazed my perception of the Bible and Christianity. Because there's a resurrection of the condemnation. Of course, we know resurrection of the life. So here, similar things happen here in the book of Acts. Paul even said, I have a hope in God, which they themselves also accept, that there will be a resurrection of what? Of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. In other words, there will be resurrection of the unjust. I never thought that when I first become a Christian until I studied this. Think about that. What kind of resurrection of the unjust or resurrection of the condemnation will be. I don't know, you saw this, is it Armageddon? Recently, amazing fact. There will be so many people are crawling up and then they are coming to attack the New Jerusalem. All these peoples are part of this resurrection of the unjust. Because Bible clearly says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in Adam all died, but in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. That's very important words. First who? Christ, the first fruit. So resurrection starts with Jesus Christ. And then afterwards, those who are Christ at his coming, his second coming. Right, that's where the resurrection of the just, the resurrection of life will happen. And then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. So, if there's no resurrection of the dead, Christ is not resurrected. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, our faith is empty, and if Christ is not risen, our faith is futile, we are still in our where? Sins. And then also, those who are sleeping in the tomb will be what? They're perished. That's it. So, this resurrection is so important. Think about this. If there's no resurrection, then we are still where? We are still in our sins. What did Jesus do to get rid of our sins? He paid his sinless life, his blood, shed blood. So it's a crucifixion, right? So if there's no resurrection, then what? Whatever happened to Jesus during the crucifixion, it has no meaning. It has no effect of forgiveness of our sins. So, resurrection and crucifixion and resurrection, those are very important pillar of the Christian teachings, teaching of Bible. But without the resurrection, crucifixion will never fulfill its role. So that much important in the resurrection. Then why people are talking about not resurrection, but going to heaven right away. You know, in my culture, many Sunday Christians, they say that when somebody, believers die, they have in the newspaper, they announce, oh, we have a welcoming service to heaven. That's how they say. I mean, publicly saying like that. Well, because of time, the last enemy that will be destroyed is death, right? Amen. And so, Revelation chapter 20, the devil, lack of fire, brimstone, they're cast into, and the death and Hades, and lack of fire, this is second death. We know what is the second death, what is the first death, what is the second resurrection, what is the first resurrection. We should know about this, right? Yeah. So therefore, chapter 21, when chapter 20, everything was in lack of fire, they burn up. Then, Bible says, the first earth, the first heaven passed away. We have a new heaven and new earth. There's a tabernacle of God with us. And there's no tear, no death, no sorrow, no crying, no pain, because former things have passed away. So there's no way eternal burning torment going on. Because that is ending at the Revelation chapter 20. Otherwise, Bible doesn't make sense at all. Well, I have about 57 group chat of my high school friends. They're still alive, and they are all Christian. So we have a meeting, Zoom every month, and I actually share them. Two challenges from two Kirk that happened in December. And a lot of them, they don't know. But I share that. And this is one Charlie Kirk, right? Stop in the name of God. What is that? What is this promoting? Yes. Seventh, not Sabbath. Not a Sabbath. D Sabbath. Why D Sabbath? Because the seventh day is of the Lord our God. So in other words, seventh day Sabbath is not mine, right? It's his holy time. And he actually cared for coming down and spend time with us during this worship service, and we uplifted our spirit. And so, I know you probably know about him, so I'm not going to talk much about, but actually my daughter and we and the friend there, we went to see, him in person in March last year, an amazing story that he said, if somebody truly believed Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning God created heaven and earth, you have to, or you're willing to keep the seventh day Sabbath. That's basically it. But I don't know, I actually haven't read this book, but a lot of Adventist circle and other Christian circle talk about this book, and we'll discuss that later time. But there's another Kirk. This is the Kirk Cameron Show. Do you know him?
Yes.
Yeah. He's a follower of about 1 million people, right? And December 3, last month, Kirk Cameron, and he and his son together, they talk, and actually he dropped the bomb because he said, are we wrong about hell? And he says, yes, there are two different issues. One is ECT. What is ECT? Is eternal conscious torment that we talked about. Or it is annihilation or extinction. And they said, we have to honest with the Bible. So we want to believe in this extinction, this annihilation. That's what he proclaimed. I mean, after that, he got a lot of attack. Oh, you don't even believe the hell? He said, no, I believe hell, but the way it worked out is not the way you think. It's biblical, it's wrong. That's how it is coming up. No, these are very important issues that are now shaking the evangelical or Sunday Christians who are sincere to know the Bible. And you and I, we have to utilize this information to approach gently, nicely, and biblically tell them. I'm so happy about many people. I kind of share that. I don't have any fear. I mean, they really like sincerity, and we don't be, you know, dogmatic or, well, you know, I'm learning from you too. So let's share. I hope the Seventh-day Adventist Church in general waking up to see God is giving the opportunity of the final loud cry. Why we are so quiet in that sense, I don't know. Even look at John chapter 3, verse 16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believe in him shall not what? Perish, but have everlasting life. So everlasting life is opposite of the perishing. Not another eternal life in hell. No, it's a perishing. So there got to be end. Therefore, we have a new heaven and new earth. And wage of the sin is a death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
So, is wage of sin is eternal
no.
torment? No.
No.
It's a death.
Forever.
Second death, completely. So, I'm praising God that you and I, we have a biblical knowledge. But anybody can do that if you are consistent reading Bible whole. Of course, there are some other issues we can talk about, but not today. Yeah. So, my last slide here is 1 John 5, 10, and 12. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. And whoever has a Son has life. And who does not have Son of God does not have life. That's basically it. So, throughout the Bible, God's plan is by sending His messengers and ultimately Jesus Christ to come as a Son of God and Son of Man. And He restored our lost relationship as a sonship with God the Father. So we can now call our God my Father. Through Jesus Christ, his Lord's Prayer. So do you have a life? Do you have Jesus Christ in your life?
Yes.
Raise your hand if you have. Praise God. I'm so glad. Yeah. Well, may God bless you in your study. And I think the fact that Christ came to this world is so amazing.
Amen.
I praise for that. I'm waiting for his returning in the clouds. So we all participate in that resurrection of life. Thank you very much. Our Father in heaven, we are so grateful to call you as our Father because of Jesus Christ, who didn't shame himself to call all of us as his brethren. So through Christ, we are reestablished the relationship that has been lost from Eden. Help us today and forever to forward your message, not only in our own life, but also to others, wherever and whenever you give a chance. So bless all Stone Tower members and visitors here today to rededicate our lives until you come. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.